Heavenly Father, you've promised to be where there are two or three gathered in your name. There are more here this morning. You've promised to give us your Holy Spirit if we ask. And we're asking this morning. And Father, you've promised to speak to us through your word. May we listen. May we put into practice those things that we hear this morning. And we thank you for being our God. We thank you for being our Father. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you hear of a world that is falling apart, Greece, Germany, France, we've heard about that, haven't we? It seems like all month it's been Greece, Germany, France, Russia, Ukraine. God invites us to pray, Jesus invites us to pray, our Father. When we hear what is happening in the United States, the tension, the violence, Jesus invites us to pray, our Father. When we see our church divided, fighting, tense, Jesus invites us to pray, our Father. When we see families who are struggling, where there's tension, where there's pain, where there's hurt, Jesus invites to pray, our Father, inviting us all to direct our attention to the one who has the solution to all of our problems. Amen? Our world is falling apart. Nobody has to tell us. We see it. We experience it on a daily basis. And we only think, how long? How much longer? But Jesus invites us to pray, our Father. Our Father. And he uses this term every time he directs himself to God the Father. Our Father. Or Father. And in one case, when he was on the cross, he said, Dad. Papa, Abba, I put it all in your hands. There's nothing else I can do now. Nothing else. Why would Jesus invite us all in moments of crisis, in moments of difficulty, in moments of stress, in moments of struggle, to remember that we all have one Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen? One Father who made us all, who created us all, who loves us all, who cares about us all. And I know Satan is really trying to make us think that's not true. I know he is. He knows that divided we fall. United we stand. And Jesus knew this too. This morning we studied during Sabbath school lesson, the week right before his crucifixion, as he entered Jerusalem, as he prepared to give his life for us. And in that context, I want you to go to John chapter 13. Right before Jesus would give his life for us, the ultimate sacrifice. This is what Jesus tells his disciples. John chapter 13, verse 1. And if there, Isai, could you help me? Thank you so much. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until" when, brothers and sisters? "He loved them until the end." Jesus knew the hour had come. A difficult time, a time of judgment that was going to fall upon him who had committed no sin, who had committed no crime, who had committed no wrong, who had said nothing that was untrue, that was unloving. But he was condemned to die the death of a criminal on a cross. And knowing that his hour had come, he spoke to his disciples. He shared with his disciples. And verse 4 tells us that he rose from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. How did Jesus confront trial and tribulation? By serving his disciples, by washing their feet. They were all surprised. "Jesus, what are you doing? You're the teacher. You're the master. You should not be touching our feet. Why don't we hire a servant? He'll come and do an excellent job." And Jesus said, "No. If you call me your teacher, then learn from me. Learn to serve one another, to love one another." They didn't understand. Why was Jesus doing this? Wasn't he supposed to be the king of Israel? He was the king of the world. He was the king of the universe. But Jesus was washing their feet, making sure they would understand the message that he was calling his disciples then and his disciples today, that we ought to serve one another. Jesus told them that he had to leave. Simon Peter responded, "Where are you going, Jesus?" And Jesus told them, "Where I go, you cannot follow." Peter said unto the Lord, "Why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered them, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake, Peter?" And Jesus, knowing that his time of departure was near, chapter 14, verse 1 tells us another thing that he told his disciples. Words that we hear today and we are encouraged by them. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in? In my Father's house there are many" what? If it were not so, "I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen? How many of you like goodbyes? Say goodbye to a friend, to a loved one. Nobody does. And when we look at death, I think that's what really hurts. We see somebody that we won't be able to talk to anymore. We won't be able to share with anymore. And I can't imagine what the families in Charleston, South Carolina are going through right now. But something that I read gave me hope, brothers and sisters. A young lady who lost her mother said, "I forgive you. It hurts me, but God forgave you. I forgive you too." Amen? That's only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told his disciples, "I'm not leaving you alone. I have to go. Where I'm going, you can't go right now. But I'm leaving you my Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit will bring comfort. My Holy Spirit will bring truth. My Holy Spirit will give you strength. My Holy Spirit will bring you together." The book Desire of Ages has a few quotes that I would like to share with you this morning. Sorry about that. And we're back. Here we go. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Their faith might safely rest on the evidence given in Christ's work, works that no man of himself ever had done or ever could do. Christ's work testified of his divinity through him. The Father had been revealed." Amen? Believe me that I am in the Father. Jesus was about to give his life for all of humanity. In fact, what was about to happen, the disciples were not going to understand. But he said, "Trust. Trust me. When I say that the Father is in me and I am in the Father, what's about to happen is not going to make sense. You're going to hurt. You're going to run. But it's important. Trust me. I am with you always until the end." Desire of Ages continues sharing. He explained that the secret of their success would be in asking for strength and grace in his name. He would be present before the Father to make requests for them. The prayer of the humble suppliant he presents as his own desire in that soul's behalf. Every sincere prayer is heard in heaven. It may not be fluently expressed, but if the heart is in it, it will ascend to the sanctuary where Jesus ministers, and he will present it to the Father without one awkward, stammering word. Amen? Beautiful and fragrant with the incense of his own perfection. Jesus receives our prayers and makes them beautiful and fragrant before the Father. Amen? Sin could be resisted, he said, and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. It is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. It is by the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Christ has given his Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress his own character upon his church. Amen? Do we need the Holy Spirit today, brothers and sisters? We need it. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit. God wants to impress his character upon his people, upon his church. What does that mean, you might ask, to have the character of Jesus? Would you say that means to have the fruits of the Spirit? Amen? Is that why we need to be asking for the Holy Spirit? What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. The second, joy. The second, the fourth, the fifth one. All those character traits. And Jesus was inviting his disciples to come together in order to receive his Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus spoke about difficulties that his children would have to suffer in this world. Persecution, being put in jail, death. But he told them, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let this world take the peace out of you that Jesus has put in your hearts. Desire of Ages says the following, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Jesus continued in chapter 15 to tell his disciples, just like the vine has branches, and without the branches being stuck together to the vine, you cannot give any fruit, so you also must remain connected to me. How do we stay connected to Jesus, brothers and sisters? Through prayer. How else do we stay connected to Jesus? Through the Word. How else do we stay connected to Jesus? Through the power of the Holy Spirit and by serving one another. Amen? That's how we stay together. Prayer, study of God's Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, serving one another. And he uses this image, and he's incredible image that we find here tells us, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Christ said to his disciples, though he was about to be removed from them, their spiritual union with him was to be unchanged. The connection of the branch with the vine, he said, represents the relation you are to sustain to me. The scion is engrafted into the living vine, and fiber by fiber, vein by vein, it grows into the vine stalk. The life of the vine becomes the life of the branch. So the soul, dead in trespasses and sin, receives life through connection with Christ. By faith in him, as a personal Savior, the union is formed. The sinner unites his weakness to Christ's strength, his emptiness to Christ's fullness, his frailty to Christ's enduring might. Then he has the mind of Christ. The humanity of Christ has touched our humanity, and our humanity has touched divinity. Thus, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, man becomes a partaker of the divine nature. He is accepted in the beloved, connected to the vine, connected to the source of life, connected to the one who can help us. And who takes care of that vine, that grapevine? Who takes care of those branches, brothers and sisters? The vine dresser. The Father. When those vines begin to grow, they're very weak, and they tend to lay low on the ground. But the vine dresser comes. The husbandman picks them up and puts them on solid poles. He puts them where they can hang those fruits and let everyone see them. On fences, they grow, and they're able to produce much fruit for the honor and glory of God. And Jesus invited his disciples to look for the Father. In fact, he says, "Abide in me and I in you." Abiding in Christ means a constant receiving of his Spirit, a life of unreserved surrender to his service. The channel of communication must be open continually between man and his God. As the vine branch constantly draws the sap from the living vine, so are we to cling to Jesus and receive from him by faith the strength and perfection of his own character. Jesus was telling his disciples, stay together, abide in me, and I in you. Not once a week, but every day. You're going to need it to face the challenges that are coming before us. The hour has come. And as the disciples sat there, I can imagine them thinking, Jesus, why are you telling this to us? We don't want you to go. We want you to stay. You heal the sick. You feed the hungry. You lift up the dead. You rise them up and give them life. Why are you talking to us that you're leaving? But Jesus said, I must go, so that the Holy Spirit can come and abide with you, so that you can receive power and strength from above, so that you can reveal my character to this world, so that you, as my people, can come together, pray together, worship together, and produce the fruits of the Spirit, so that the world can see that you are my disciples. Desire of Ages, page 677, tells us, herein is my Father glorified, saith Jesus, that ye bear much fruit. God desires to manifest through you the holiness, the benevolence, the compassion of his own character. Yet the Savior does not bid the disciples labor to bear fruit. He tells them to abide in him. If ye abide in me, he says, and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It is through the word that Christ abides in his followers. Do we need more holiness, brothers and sisters? Do we need more benevolence? Do we need more compassion in this world? We need it. And the only way we can receive this is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Can I see the hands of the fathers again? All those who are fathers. Thank you. Thank you for being here. My father, Samuel Núñez Antonio, born in Salina Cruz, Oaxaca, Mexico. Because of his desire to serve God, skipped school. My grandfather was an Adventist, and his house became the little church. But in his desire to see his son prosper in life, he said, you need an education. And in Mexico in those days, school was Monday through Saturday. And every Friday, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, my dad would go to school. Saturday, he would skip school. And he wouldn't go. After 1 month, the teacher told his father, my grandfather Miguel, And when my grandfather Miguel spoke with my father, he said, "Samuel, why are you skipping school?" And my dad, who was 12 years old, said, "Dad, I don't want to go to school on Sabbath. I want to go to church with you. Is that why you're skipping school?" "That's why I'm skipping school." So my grandfather had the idea of sending him to one of our Adventist colleges. It was an academy then. Today it's a university called Linda Vista Academy. Now it's Linda Vista University. And when my father arrived there, he arrived with just some pants, a shirt, and an extra pair of pants and a shirt. That was it. At the age of 13. And when he finished school at 17, he was called to be a pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So at age 17, he had 20 churches in the southern state of Chiapas, Mexico. He had a horse, and he had to visit each one of these churches, encourage the brothers and sisters, pray with them, study the Word of God with them. My father just recently moved to Chico, California with my mom. They've been living with my sister for 2 months now. On Thursday, they signed documents for a new house. On Wednesday, we didn't know if my dad was going to sign those papers. We called them. My mom called them. My grandfather called them. "Are you going to sign?" My mom's in West Palm Beach, Florida right now with my grandparents. My dad was not sure if he was going to sign. It was a big commitment. A lot of his savings were going to go into that house. But we prayed with him. And we said, "Dad, whatever you decide to do, if you buy it or don't buy it, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay." And as a family, through difficulties and trials that we've gone through, one thing we remember, and that's if we're together, we're okay. Good things, bad things could happen. But if we're together, we're okay. And we've learned to trust one another. We're all very different. I'm going to show you a picture of my dad. I think I have it here. We were going to Cuba there. There's a picture of my mom and dad. He turned 70 this week. We were living in Mexico, in Montemorelos, and my dad was teaching there. He was a professor of Old Testament in our university there for the Department of Theology. And my dad, summertime was coming, and I didn't have a job. I was, I think, 12 years old, 13 years old. And I said, "Dad, I want to do something this summer. I want to make some money." And my dad said, "Okay, how can I help you?" He says, "You have a friend that has a truck, right?" I said, "Yes. I'm going to need you to borrow his truck. Can you do that for me?" Dad said, "I think I can. What do you want the truck for?" He says, "Well, I know there's this camp out. There's a camperee where all these young people get together. They have tents and they do activities, outdoor activities. They're going to be about 25 minutes away from where we live. So, Dad, I have this idea. Why don't I go and sell popsicles, ice cream, fruit bars? I think I can make some money." My dad looked at me and said, "Okay, so where do we get the popsicles and the ice cream and the ice cream cart?" He says, "I know the place. It's down in the city of Montemorelos, but I need your help with the truck." So my dad took me to this place. The man loaded up this little ice cream cart for me with ice cream bars and fruit bars and popsicles. Off we went 25 minutes away. 400 hot campers were out there camping. And I came with my little cart and I said, "Helados, ice cream. And before I knew it, I had this big line of people right in front of my ice cream cart. And I started to hand out these ice creams left and right. I ran out of ice cream. So I went back to my dad. What's the problem? Dad, I ran out. I need some more. You think you can take me back 25 minutes to the place where we got the ice cream? And my dad looked at me and said, okay, let's go back. So off we went again. And they loaded it up. The ice cream man was surprised. Wow! He sold the whole cart in less than 2 hours. So we loaded it up, went back to the camping site, and again, helados, ice cream. And again, all these young people came and started to buy my ice cream. By the end of the day, I had made a profit of about $150. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but my dad, just so you have an idea, in the 80s was making about $300 a month. I was, wow, I made just about as much as my dad makes. Now I'm selling ice cream. And I remember more than the money that I made that day and the people that I met. My dad smiling. He's very quiet. He doesn't share too much, but he was smiling. And something that I appreciate about my father, my earthly father, is that he listens. And brothers and sisters, if our parents listen to us, being human, does our Heavenly Father listen to us as well? When we talk to Him, when we share with Him our needs, when we explain to Him our dreams, when we tell Him about our projects, He listens. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell His disciples. God listens. You can call upon Him. He will listen. He will answer according to His divine will. He'll give you the best. He'll give you more than what you can ask for. So talk to Him. And we find this beautiful prayer that Jesus shared with His disciples. A prayer that we find in John 17. There at the end of this very important time as He was sharing with the disciples. Verse 1 tells us, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given them. And we find in this prayer, a pretty lengthy prayer, where Jesus prays for the unity of God's people. Amen? Amen. That they may be one, that they may be perfected as they come together, as they pray together, as they worship together, as they serve together. You know why? Because our Father listens. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your struggles. He knows your pains. He knows your challenges. And the best part, He can do something about it. Amen? Jesus has promised that God the Father can do something about it. Verse 17 tells us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And verse 20 tells us the following, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. Desire of Ages, page 678 says, this love is evidence of their discipleship. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, said Jesus, if ye have love one to another. When men are bound together, not by force or self-interest, but by love, they show the working of an influence that is above every human influence. Where this oneness exists, it is evidence that the image of God is being restored in humanity, that a new principle of life has been implanted. It shows that there is power in the divine nature to withstand the supernatural agencies of evil, and that the grace of God subdues the selfishness inherent in the natural heart. Amen. Amen? Is that something we can experience here today, brothers and sisters? I believe we can experience it today. We only have to invite who to come into our hearts? The Holy Spirit. We need to pray for one another. We need to plead in these times that we live in. We've been praying for our church, haven't we? We have been praying for our nation, haven't we? But we need to pray also for one another. Amen? Struggles, difficulties that we will be facing in the future, we will be able to face them if we stand together, if we stand united. And as this text tells us, not by force, not by self-interest, but by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what God is longing to see in his church today. And I can say, brothers and sisters, I can say that God's Holy Spirit is moving in this place today. Amen? I hear it from people who don't come to this church. They tell me there's something in this church. I don't know what it is. And I know what it is. It's God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? He's here. He's present. He wants to live in each one of us. He wants to transform us. He wants to help us bring fruit for God's honor and glory. The best part? He's our Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. He cares about us. He loves us. And he can do much to help us with any situation that we might be facing today. He's more than able to help us. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing our hymn.